greetings. We have the opportunity once again to address issues common to man, issues that are concerning life's day-to-day experiences. We pray for God. We pray for your guidance, Father God, as we labor here and bring forth topics of interest and perchance they would be the answer to problems that various ones are facing from day to day. We ask for your guidance and your continued wisdom as we go forth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dreyer. Once again, I'm happy to be here at the Forsaken Horizon podcast. Excited to have other people with us tonight. Not just me and Brother Rod, you know, as he always reminds that just me and him. So, just excited to have other people here. I'm going to give you guys opportunity to go around before I introduce what we'll be talking about and just introduce yourselves and just tell me your name, and you can have, you know, maybe 2 seconds of just something to say. So we'll start there. Brother Dreyer.
Yes, it's Brother Willie Dreyer, I'm more commonly known, and I'm assistant pastor at the Shepherd's House. I also spend time in jail ministry in DeKalb County, Alabama, and obviously I have a love for the Lord, and I have a love for God's people, so I trust that anything that I can offer would be of benefit to the hearers, even as we go forth.
Thank you.
So my name's Katie. I don't know that I have such a good intro as Mr. Dreyer did.
I probably should have let him go last.
Yeah, you should have. That's a lot to build up to. So I'm on this podcast. Me and Otis, we work together. That's kind of how we know each other. And then I've had a chance, of course, to meet all the rest of these guys here recently, and they're all very great. And I'm glad that I get to be a part of this, and hopeful, as you stated, I can contribute to the conversation and kind of give some insights that I've learned, for better or for worse, and hopefully help someone out along the way as well.
Thank you.
I tend the time now.
Yeah, you was little.
Yeah, I was very good. You've been a great mentor.
Thank you.
Y'all know me. I'm Rodney. Y'all know me. Me and Otis.
Because he's here every week, and the rest of us aren't.
The past couple of weeks. So it's nice to have
only the past choice. Couple of weeks.
It's nice to have a group join us.
You know, I really appreciate everybody.
I feel like that was directed toward me.
I think because, you know, every time we have a Rodney, just he tends to remind me, well, where's everybody at?
It's just we need to start out with a good laugh.
So I appreciate that. So we're not alone tonight, Brother Rodney. We're not forsaken.
Forsaken
Horizon. Brother Rodney and Brother Rodney are not alone.
We're not alone anymore.
That's so sweet.
It is sweet. Thank you, guys. But no, all kidding aside, I really appreciate everybody here. We're talking about a very serious subject tonight, and I really appreciate everybody taking their time. And, you know, with this subject, I will say, you know, don't say anything uncomfortable or tell any stories that are going to make you uncomfortable. And if something is said, you know, that's uncomfortable, then, you know, just let it be known. So, you know, this is a safe place. This is a safe space. And so we don't ever want to, you know, we want to be a help to people. We don't want to hurt people and so forth and so on. So, you know, y'all know me. I say just about anything. And, you know, I got to work on boundaries. That's what I need to do. So, but I really do appreciate that. So let's go ahead and jump into the conversation. We're talking about boundaries or personal boundaries. And, you know, when I think about boundaries, I think about limits. And, you know, everybody can think about an imaginary line. Today we was eating, you know, dinner, and Brother Rodney was talking about some place in South America that we couldn't come up with. You know, what was the name of that place again, Brother Rodney? It started with E, right?
Belize.
Belize, you know. But, you know, he was talking about South America and America, and there's a boundary line that's there that separate, you know, America from South America, you know, and you just can't cross over that boundary line without going through the proper procedures or doing things the right way, you know, to come into America or to go to South America. And so such as is in our lives, we should have determined boundaries, and we should have limits that other people should respect, you know, and we should respect other people's. And so, you know, but what I've learned in life is that some people don't understand boundaries. You know, there's time I may not understand boundaries, and sometimes boundaries change for the better or for the worse. And so I think this is a very, 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 very good subject to talk about. So I just kind of like to open up, and you know, my first thing when I came up this, I hate that Micah's not here. Micah's my son, and so, you know, we was talking about subject matter that he would be glad to talk about, and he was just talking about the different boundaries he has in his life, you know, with his friends and things, and how they impact him. You know what I'm saying? And impact his relationship not only with, you know, his parents, but with God. And I was just like, wow. I was like, this is a powerful subject when you have a 12-year-old who's talking about friendships and different things and how being friends with certain people and how certain people can influence you and cause you to do things. So I think this is something that everybody can relate to. So, you know, when I think about that, I want to throw this question at this, and this is a biblical question, so I'm not gonna fool anybody, or it's not a got you. What was the first boundary given to mankind? Think about that just for a second. The first boundary, and it's an open question, so I guess we need boundaries. Our brother drowned on his cell phone.
I'm
just turning it off.
Oh, okay.
He's looking the answer up.
That's what he said. He's looking at it. I didn't say he could, so
I
guess
he can. That's why I'm sitting next to him, so I can look at it. I think what your mind goes to is, you know, I mean, he gives them parameters in the garden, you know.
He does.
He really had pretty few rules, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a long list. Mm-hmm. But I think he, you know, he kind of told them, basically, do this, don't do this.
Right.
And I think he set boundaries there, you know, clearly. Like I said, I don't think it was unreasonable boundaries
right,
by any means.
Right.
But I think he did set them forth there in the garden.
Right. Anybody else want to chime in on that before?
I would say certainly that it was quite, he was quite open, really, in with given the parameter of where they were. They were in a garden.
Right, right.
Which to me I would think of as a broad space, a large area.
Yes, sir.
But then he focused on one tree and said, don't eat of this tree.
Right, right.
You know, one command.
Yes.
One boundary.
Right. And you know, that's so crazy because, you know, sometimes when I hear that scripture or hear that people talk about that, you know, even Eve got a problem, like, you shouldn't touch it. He didn't ever say they couldn't touch it. He didn't give them that boundary. He said, you just don't have to eat it.
Don't eat of it.
But he gave them liberty in so many things.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them authority in so many things.
Right.
You know, and I sit there and I was thinking about this conversation, you know, when I was talking to Micah, because the ultimate conversation was about relationship with God, you know.
Right, right.
And how when we step over boundaries, it impacts our relationship with God. And I think about Adam, who had, man, such relationship with God. Think about how he fellowshiped with God. He walked with God. He saw God in his fullness, you know. And God gave him that one boundary that we know of, that's written.
Right.
Don't eat of it. He didn't say don't look at it, don't touch it. He just said don't what? Eat it.
Don't eat of it.
Mm-hmm. But then Adam, who's perfect, everybody would agree with that, right? I think everybody in this room would agree with Adam was perfect, right? Brother Driver, you're a scholar amongst us. So
that's right.
But what did he do?
But Adam?
Yes, what did he do?
Well, you know, I was ministering in jail this the other night, and the question came up.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, though it's not written in Scripture, Adam was a friend of God.
Mm-hmm.
Adam had a familiarity, or he was a knowledge of God that transcends any that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it is likely that Adam presumptuously, willfully disobeyed.
Okay. So he crossed the boundary, the only boundary God gave him, mindfully. And he was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting there thinking, and as I was talking to Micah, like, man, Adam was perfect and knew God, and God only gave him one boundary.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what does that speak to us? You know what I'm saying? Like, what does it say to us? And, you know, it really gave me encouragement when I was talking to Micah, because even when Adam crossed the boundary, and, you know, Brother Rodney knows, and, you know, different one who knows me, you know, God, he hides from God because what, he's ashamed and he's afraid, you know, he's in a fallen state. And, you know, because when we cross boundaries, you know, most times we cross boundaries, we know it. You know what I'm saying? Like, in most cases, y'all agree with that? I mean, like, that's just a reality.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, I think about Olivia when I tell her, you know, she loves cookies.
Right.
No, not all cookies. I can't say that. There's a certain type of cookie she likes. You know, the pink and the purple, they have to be combined. They can't be separate. Daddy knows this. All right.
So, oh, my God.
Anyway, so, like, I will tell her, Olivia, you know, you hadn't eaten your dinner, you know, and she likes certain things. I was like, you can't have a cookie.
Right.
Okay. And she knows that, Brother Rodney, because she won't get one while I'm in there, right? But as soon as I get busy doing something or my focus is not there with her eating, I come back and you know what she's got? A cookie. And you know what she hadn't done? Well, ate her food. And she knows immediately when I see and I call her name that she's done something wrong.
What is her action?
It's her action.
What? Yeah, but
her, what is her action?
What is
her action?
Her
action is shock, and it's like trying to hide the cookie that she has.
Right.
You know? And that's human nature.
That's right.
That's what we inherited through the DNA of Adam.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And people call it the sin nature because it's there, which is sin is what disobedience, as you said, to God.
Right.
And so, but I think that that's the thing is with boundaries is recognizing boundaries. You know what I'm saying? And defining boundaries. And God is very good at defining boundaries. You know? And so I think that this is really, really, really good. So let's talk about, you know, and I guess I'm going to go backwards as far as what's unhealthy. What is an unhealthy boundary in you guys' mind? In relationships or just period. Just I'm just going to open up the discussion. I know I got some thoughts about it, but I can sit here and talk all day. Especially when we've got a room full of people, right, Brother Rock?
I'm sure that helps.
It does a little bit. So think about some unhealthy boundaries that you know, something that comes to mind with you guys.
Well, somebody else go ahead.
You speaking to the mic. Hey, Rodney, y'all pull that mic closer to y'all.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, I'm really taking a lead off of this paper. I see something here that I find within myself.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm interested in this. I'm going to highlight this one. Okay, go.
I find it a challenge within myself to say no.
Really?
When people call upon me to help them.
Okay. Well, so why is that a challenge? Tell me, can you talk about that? Do you mind talking about that a little bit?
Conscience. Mm-hmm. Primarily, my conscience, I guess maybe it's a certain passivity about me that I can identify, you know, that I'm, and then too, I have a desire to help.
Help people.
Yeah. Right, right.
So would you call yourself a people pleaser?
I might not go that far.
Okay.
I mean, you know, because I have limitations or boundaries.
You do have boundaries.
Right. Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Yeah, I will say within reason, whatever their request is, you know, I consider the time frame and what other priorities I may have going in my life.
Right, right.
And if I can say yes, I usually, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say yes.
Right.
And not say no.
Right.
Now, so that's, so but yes, but now on the other hand, I had occasion, I had a guy that I was trying to help, and he, without giving any names.
Yeah, don't drop no names.
I wouldn't do that, no.
I mean.
He. He received a lump sum of money, and as a result of that, his desire directly went, I want a car.
Mm.
Now, here's a person that didn't have a roof over his head, didn't have his own bed to sleep in, and he was more or less getting food through bartering, you know, with what little money he had. And I told him, I said, you should keep this money to land yourself a dwelling place. And, you know, In other words, get yourself established in terms of a place to stay, maybe a couple of pieces of furniture, you know, and get established in that way before you buy a car.
You just give him wise counsel.
You see, but when he's that, but now he goes and buys the car, and then he comes back to me wanting to borrow money. So talk about boundary.
Right.
I said, I don't have any money to loan you because, first of all, you went in the opposite direction, Adam.
You called him Adam. I like that. I like that.
You know, from the advice that was given.
Right, right, right.
You know, so I don't have any money to help you.
Right.
In your misdirection.
Right.
Ill favor. You know, you cared more for a car than a roof over your head.
Right.
He winds up sleeping in the car. Go ahead.
Well, I would definitely say that is wisdom. You know, I think a lot of times when we just relationship with God and we do things outside of his counsel, outside his wisdom and his word, and then we want to come back and we want him to give us the thing, that really don't help us.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's really called enabling that same behavior and empowering that behavior. So I definitely like how you said that. You know, saying no make us, you know, it says make us feel guilty or feel like we're letting people down. And I think, you know, when you work, you say you work with people in the jail ministry.
Right.
And so let's just be honest. I mean, those people are there for a reason, not because they sing in a choir or play the piano, Brother Matthew. I'm not saying you're a criminal or anything, but, you know, they're there for a reason. And mm-hmm. then when people know that your heart mm-hmm. won't help people, people take advantage of that.
They would.
And people will cross the boundaries. And sometimes we continue to let those people do that until we recognize and realize no. And that mm-hmm. no may hurt us because we may feel like that person really needs that. You know, there's situations in my life where I can say that that's the same case where it's hard to say no. And then when you say no, you know, you wonder, like,
mm-hmm.
what if they really need it this time?
Right.
You know, so what do they really need me this time? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so that's really difficult. I think that's just part of human nature. So, you know, there are several things that I can look at. You know, I mean, like I can go down all of these said, like, well, the first one, you aren't honest with others when you feel you're not being treated right. You know, there's times where I feel like I'm not being treated right, you know, whether that's at home, where Rachel at. No, I'm just playing. I just name dropped in there. Well, my job, where Katie at.
Why is it all women?
Hold on. Or at church, where Brother Rodney at. There you go. So I bounce it out. I can do this. I'm controlling everything. So, no, y'all know me. I'm just saying that there's times where we all may feel like, hey, man, I'm not being treated fairly by family, loved ones, you know, church members, you know, coworkers, but we keep that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's something that they may be infringing upon our boundaries, and we don't want to say no, and they may be things going on, and we don't want to hurt their feelings because we care about them. And it's not that they don't care about us, but we're just not honest with ourselves. Like, that's not right. They shouldn't treat me that way. And that you can't grow in that. You know what I'm saying? You don't have peace in that. Though I won't say you. I said I can't. You know what I'm saying? It puts me in a very bad state of mind. And then here I am, you know, I'm talking to God, and, like, our relationship is skewed because, like, I'm not clear in my own self. Does that make sense? I mean, am I just, like, out here on my own, just, like, forsaken? I'm alone, you know? Anybody want to chime in before I go on?
Well, I think, like, the common theme between, like, kind of, what both of y'all were talking about is that, you know, sometimes we feel like boundaries aren't biblical in a sense. You know, we're like, I can't tell this person they hurt my feelings because that's complaining or that's whatever, and that's not what God wants me to do. And then sometimes we're like, I can't draw a boundary and not give him money or whatever because, you know, he says be a cheerful giver. Like, it's almost like me, at least, I can find a bunch of Bible verses to tell me I shouldn't have boundaries in a sense.
Yeah.
But that's not what they're telling me. But in my mind, I'm justifying not having boundaries. And I can have a verse for it, you know. And and I think that's especially maybe, I'm sure men feel this way too. Y'all can tell me from y'all's standpoint. Yeah. But as a woman who is a Christian, you know, you really want to be submissive to people, you know. Mm-hmm. You want to have a gentle and quiet spirit. You want to have all this stuff. And I think sometimes, like I said, we blur the boundaries for that reason.
I agree.
We don't want to come across as too strong-willed. Yeah. We don't want to come across, especially in romantic relationships, as, dominant in things, you know, and you know, we have this mindset sometimes where we just want to serve and please, which is good, but there's a point where it becomes unbiblical in that. Like I said, we can justify it with a bunch of Bible verses, but I think really, and I say especially relationship-wise, I think we have a lot of stuff that we put on ourselves thinking we're doing the right thing.
Doing the right thing,
doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
But we really just completely get lost in
it.
Everything just gets swamped.
Swamped, yeah.
You know? And like I said, y'all can tell me if y'all feel that in relationships and stuff too from a man's standpoint. But I feel like there's a different layer sometimes.
I do agree with that because I think for me, you know, I look at it and I'll go back to the first boundary line that was drawn was with Adam. And then, you know, Eve was actually the first one to cross it. But she was, you know, I mean, God had told Adam. And he was the one who had the authority, but yet and still he still followed in that. And then he blames her about it. You get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And so I definitely agree in relationships, and you talk about like being submissive and different things, and people can find scriptures about that. You know, that person is that woman, you know, she's what's the word? I'm trying to be mindful of my words here. Strong-willed, or she's, you know, opinionated, or she's independent, you know. Well, I think that's what God creates in all of us, you know what I'm saying, as human beings. You know, I cannot just use a scripture and then say that, hey, listen, you know, this is you. I'm going to define you. How can I define you? Then I'm crossing your boundaries. You know what I'm saying? God created you to be who you are. Either I can respect that and love that and cherish that. I mean, there's many. I mean, if we want to talk about boundaries, you know, was it I think it was Ruth, Brother Dreyer, and Naomi, where Boaz, you know, she comes and lays at his feet. I mean, that could have been considered
a bold move.
It could have been forward. You know, that's what the word is. Very forward. But she understood the significance of what she was trying to accomplish. And God was going to use that for the line of who? The Messiah to come. I think that, you know, the world, can I say the world has a definition, and we try to use the Bible as a justification because I may not feel comfortable with, well, just having a woman who's strong-willed, you're overstepping your boundaries. You're overstepping the bounds. Well, no. I would want someone who's God created to be who God has created them to be. And that's one thing about boundaries, it's knowing your boundaries, knowing who you are, and not letting another person do what redefine you. And that was really at the heart of what me and Mike was talking about, because just even in friendships, you know, I'm just talking about, you know, his friendships. I'm not naming another guy, I'm just using Micah.
Sure.
You know, he was just talking about kind of what you were saying, that he knows who he is, but then you have other friends who try to redefine you, and they're asking you to do things that are outside of your character,
right?
And they're not things of integrity. And then when you don't do those things, then they're looking down on you because you won't redefine your boundaries. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, oh, you're not my friend. Oh, you're not a real friend. Because if you're a real friend, then, you know,
you don't care about me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I don't care about you, but I care about myself and I care about my boundaries. And if you cared about me, you wouldn't ask me to do what? Redefine my boundaries.
Well, that's the thing. I think, you know, a lot of times it just ends with, you know, you don't care about me, you don't love me.
Yeah.
And we never respond with, well, maybe you don't care about me if this doesn't matter. But
Well, I think a more proper answer would be your values or your boundaries are less than mine. So let's evaluate them. That would be, for me, a little bit more mature statement.
Well, we're talking about a 12-year-old too, Brother Dreyer.
Right.
So we have to craft it in a way for him to be able to understand, to make the other person understand. But I understand where your train of thought, though.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even in his case, as a result of him expressing himself and withdrawing from the issues that they're bringing forth, he's isolating himself from the group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fortunately, he's strong enough to do that. And at the same time, he's setting himself up as an example for a higher standard.
Yeah.
You know? Now, hopefully, of course, it is never going to be 100%, but hopefully in that peer group, you know, that he that there will be one or two that will come along and see him for the example that he didn't make himself to be,
right.
But his character and personality have set him apart.
Yeah. I think, you know, for me, and this is kind of where we are, you know, and it's really kind of saying the same thing. It's like, you know, I guess in the world that I'm at, that I just have to know my own boundaries, my own character, my own values.
Sure.
And you can't redefine that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not that I'm condemning or judging where that other person is. I'm just not going to come to that standard. Can I use that word? That's not my standard. Does that make sense?
You're not going to drop your standard, if you use that word, your standard. If theirs is a lesser degree.
Yeah, and I'm trying to be mindful, you know, because somebody can be like, well, you a pastor, you got this and that, and, you know, I can't get to your standard. Well, no, it's not about my standard. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just who I am, because, once again, my standard is going to be, you know, the standards that I learned growing up, which some are good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was telling somebody the other day, you know, I grew up in a house where yelling was acceptable. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the form of communication.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then myself, I was like, well, I'm setting these boundaries in my household where I really don't want yelling, because I don't want my kids to yell. No, I don't want to yell because I know what that feels like.
Sure.
But guess when Mike could get on my nerves, first thing I resort to?
Yelling.
Mike! You know? He's like, why are you yelling? Why do you need to hear me? You know what I'm saying?
I fall back
into those bad habits. So I set a standard for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't meet that standard. You get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And so sometimes, you know, I battle with, like, Lord, you're trying to show me, like, I can't judge Brother Rodney, you know what I'm saying, because I'm trying to clean up my own house. Does that make sense? Like, but I'm not going to, like, Brother Rodney be like, hey, let me bring these roaches in your house. Like, no, Brother Rodney, now you can take them back to your house. You know what I'm saying? Brother Rodney got no roaches in house, y'all. You know, he here with me all the time, so I just, well, let me just go. I'm like, no, Katie, you can't have those walls at my house. They can sting you, but not me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love you, but no, I don't want to get stung. Get where I'm coming from? But, like, because I'm trying to get the, you know, I'm trying to get the mosquitoes out of my house. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm trying to clean mine up, so don't add much more to me. But, and I think that's the situation, because, you know, the kids that he's around, they're not bad kids. You get where I'm coming from?
Right.
They're not, you know, as I say, somebody used the word hoodlums, and I'm not saying that. They're making pretty good choices, but then there's some things that is acceptable in society, okay, let's just say that, that he understands this is not the standard that he lives by.
Sure.
Does that say? And I'm not going into details, but I mean, because there can be any number of things, and I'm not trying to embarrass him about, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But, like, that's not something that we set a standard. And there's things he know he needs to work on, but at the same time, I don't want him to judge anybody else. He's like, I'm not doing that. I'm just not going to take a part of that. You know?
I mean, sometimes, too, it's like, it's not even two bad things necessarily.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It can be preferences and stuff.
This
and I think that's where just mutual respect comes
mutual.
In for people.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's discerning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I won't throw out any examples because, once again, I don't know where everybody stands on different things. But
yeah.
I think there's some things that are just, that's right, that's wrong. You know, this is what God wants us to do. This is not. This is healthy. This is unhealthy. But I think there's other things in life that is just, both things aren't wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'll use a very light example. Me drinking all my sweet tea. Someone else might be like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I'm just saying,
someone else
does not think that I should have that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't need all that sweet tea.
But, like, is it a sin to drink sweet tea? You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
a very mild example, because I'm not going to get into very deep stuff right now.
Yeah, I
don't want to start different talks right
now.
But, like,
I guess
use your imagination here.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's just two things that you just have to realize that you have to respect each other on.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's just, you're not going to see everything exactly the same way. And in
right.
Micah's sense,
right.
There's going to be things that he sees that is just straight up he shouldn't do.
Right.
And then other things, you know, discerning.
Right.
Is my friend bad for doing this? Or is this just something I don't
right.
personally want to do?
Well, and I can use examples because, you know, these people are not here. You know, I guess when I was a younger man in college, you know, I went out with a pastor, and he was with young people. And I think I've told this story with you, Katie, that he ordered a non-alcoholic beer, you know. And I don't have anything with people drinking who are 21. You know what I'm saying? I've drank before in my life. It's not something that I do because I don't need it. You know, I was already kind of crazy without it. So Lord knows if I had it and used it, who knows, I may never mind. I'm going to go deviate there. But, you know, Brother, I know we grew up holiness, you know, and when growing up in holiness, you know, you didn't touch it. You stayed away from it. But then I'm wondering now how many of them was using it. Brother, I just stay sane. So, you know, they weren't really baptized in Holy Ghost. They was baptized in something else anyway.
Anyway.
I'll say that live. No, just cut. We'll edit that part. No, we won't. But I'm going back to him. And my first thing was, like, what type of example are you putting forth for these young people? You know, if you're ordering a non-alcoholic beer and you're preaching and you're telling us, you know, don't drink and drive, and like, well, you'll do this in front of us. What are you doing behind us, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I had a different picture behind the scenes because I was close to somebody who he was close to. Mm-hmm. And so I saw what was actually the reality of it. But, you know, once again, for me, you know, the boundaries with him was like, where are you? You know what I'm saying? Not that I can judge him. You know, obviously he liked to drink and he had every right to drink because he was over the age of 21.
Sure.
No, for me, it would have been easier for me to accept, like, just get your drink. You know what I'm saying? And go ahead and do it and be like, teach them, like, you don't need to be drinking and driving. You need to have, you know, modesty in that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not that I would have agreed with it, but it would have resonated more with me. Get where I'm coming from? And that may be a bad example that I'm using. But it just seemed like to me, like when I saw other ministers later in my life, you know, who sat down and had a glass of wine with their meal, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I'm like, man, that's pretty good. They didn't drink to get drunk. They just had a glass of wine. You know, then I'm reading and I'm growing, like, well, Paul said, well, a little wine is good for your stomach. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I learned, like, as I grew up, you know, my boundaries, when I saw my boundaries change, like, yo, you don't need to touch that stuff. You know, it's dangerous. And I saw the effects of alcohol just within my own household. So I knew that was when people got intoxicated, that's not a good thing. And so, and that's one thing I think learning to respect, that's a key word, respect. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that he lost my respect. I just questioned him because when he did the non-alcoholic beer, you know, I was like, oh, why? What do you do when they ain't around? And then I found out, you know, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, well, then you should have just been doing that. But teaching, you know, moderation and teaching, you know, once again, I go back to the Bible, you know, where does it say that you cannot drink alcohol? Does it say that in there, Brother?
That you not drink alcohol?
Yeah, thou shalt not drink alcohol.
There is a scripture that alludes to that. And, of course, every human nature will take the liberty and do that. You know, that scripture that you mentioned where Paul says have to Timothy, take a little wine for his stomach's
right.
sake, which wine in a minimal degree has certain benefits in terms of your body metabolizing, processing the food.
Mariah, go give me a little wine for that hamburger.
Because it has
I'm sorry.
It has certain complementary bacteria in the germ, you see.
And I will say that I think there's a scripture that said don't be given to strong drink. Given over to drink that's going to influence your mind and make you incapable of thinking. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
You know, I have this conversation with kids every day that marijuana is what y'all natural, that it grows, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it's good for this and this and this and this and this. I'm like, okay, but it's illegal. You know, it's illegal. The law, man's law said it's illegal, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And so, but, you know, they can come up with every excuse to cross over the boundary of the law because God let it grow naturally and they determined to use it. I don't fight that battle. But I will tell them the negatives of crossing that line, that number one, you can get in trouble. Number two, it does what the brain cells, you know, it does kill brain cells. I mean, nurse practitioner over there, is that?
I say long-term effects aren't
good. Long-term effects are not good, thank you.
Right.
And so I will tell them these things, and is that at the end of the day, it's their decisions and choices whether to abide. Once again, don't eat the fruit, you know, but if you do, then there's going to be consequences to doing it. Right. That's just the reality. And don't mean God don't love you, right? Don't mean that I don't love you. You know,
right.
It's just a choice and decision. Now, that's their boundaries. But, like, don't be trying to slip no marijuana in my stuff. You know, don't give me no brownies. Lace, you know what I'm saying? Because then you begin to infringe upon what? My boundaries.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or don't try to push me to do something that I'm not comfortable doing so that I can conform to make you comfortable. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And I think that's a respect. That's in respect. I'm going to respect you. Now, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you what I feel like. Okay, this is going to be the issue. But, like, if I'm saying that these are my boundaries, then don't try to make me cross my boundaries, because I think we all have boundaries. I don't think I know we do. That's not a foregone knowledge.
Our boundaries. I use the word isolate, and with respect to Micah amongst his peers.
I really wish he was here. I feel like I'm
in a broader sense. Our boundary does set some limitations as to who we will be paired with. You know.
Oh wow! I don't even know if we have time to talk about that. Okay, so let's just hit that really quick. So you're saying that my boundary will limit those people who are in my scope, who are around me. Do y'all is that a true statement? What do y'all think? The panel of experts over there. What do you think, Brother Rodney?
I think we end up with feelings, and we go slide as little gears.
I thought you were going to say a mile, but you said 10 miles.
You know what I'm saying.
Well, and Brother Rodney, and I'm not going to call no things out, but we talked about that yesterday, right?
Yes,
and that situation, can I just say? I'm not going to say the situation, you know. But, like, if we try to help people and we try to encourage people and we try to be there for people, and we technically we move our boundaries back for them, y'all. That's really what it is. We compromise our boundaries just to help them.
Right.
And they see that, and they what? They push, and they push, and they push, and they push. Is that a good thing or bad thing? What do y'all think?
That's a bad thing. If we don't punish and whatever boundary, we don't let them know it. If we let them slide, it's like God. It'd be awful.
You sound pretty rough over there, brother. Punish. Yeah. But the Bible says who God chastises, he would. Oh! It's what, Brother Rodney?
Is love.
Okay.
If we love somebody, sure, we punish them so they'll do better. But if we don't like them to begin with, we go, let them go. And just,
so we don't give them any type of guidance or any type of counsel? Any thoughts on that?
Punishment is really love.
Okay. Brother Matthew, what do you think? You the silent party over here.
Yeah, that's like a Rodney. If you keep giving an inch, they just keep more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And then they're just, you know, just take advantage of you at the day.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it just keep pushing and pushing. Get a little inch here, get a little inch there, and then they're just one wide open and in control anymore. And then all you can do is ask God to help you out in that.
Yeah, to give you wisdom how to proceed. Yeah. So let me ask this, and I know, you know, when just say you have we have these situations where people are just taking advantage and they're infringing upon our boundaries, and we're not alone because you got those people, and they're there for. Do you feel like they're there for you, or do you feel like they're there to use you? Well, how's that? I know that how that makes me feel. You know, I can't speak for anybody else. You know, for me, I'm kind of like, well, if you're here to use me, then you don't really need to be here. But if somebody genuinely needs help, you know that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to help somebody who genuinely needs help, but somebody who is there just because they want to take advantage of you. I think there's old saying, I can do bad by myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've already got my own stuff. Mm-hmm. Then I don't need you taking advantage of me, you know. And I just like the situation yesterday, which was what I was going to say, just an infiltration of boundary issues there. But then the question is that, how can I frame this? If I allow somebody to take advantage of me, then who's at fault?
Well, I mean, it could be both.
Ah, I like that answer.
You know?
I do.
It's
kind of
your fault. I wouldn't even say your fault. I would say maybe you are playing a part in it. But I think, you know, just because I leave $100 bill out on the table, that wasn't wise of me, but it's still your fault if you steal it.
Take it, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't think, if I come up to you at the end and I say, hey, someone stole my keys or someone stole my $100 bill, you're not going to look at me and say, well, you're pretty dumb for leaving it there, so pay back for it. You know, it's two ways. I think.
I think, once again, when you have a person who has a very trusting nature and have a very compassionate nature, that's not a fault. That's actually a gift. That's a strength. When I look at those type of things, you know, and I'm not being a social worker at this moment, but I guess I am going to say, when I list strengths, like if somebody has compassion, the empathy, they have a giving heart, a kind heart, those are strengths. But unfortunately, people will take advantage of those things. And for whatever reason, guys, I'm not saying they may have things that they've suffered, you know what I'm saying? And then they need that to feel complete, you know? And then things have happened to it because we're talking about some real issues here, okay? And they found that person who's willing to give that and willing to do that. What are they going to do? They're going to keep coming back for the same thing, right? You know, that's just part of it. And until we can define, once again, our own boundaries and say what? No. And that may be hard. It may be hard. And it may take time. But God understands that. Because at the end of the day, God could have gave up on humanity. He could have said no to us in the garden, y'all.
Right.
We crossed his boundary.
Right.
Did we not?
Right.
And we continue to cross his boundary.
Right.
Let's just be real about it. So I'm like, God, you got boundary issues with Otis because you let me. It's because of love.
Right.
And compassion. But there is a stopping point with God, though.
Right.
You know, there is a say where this is it. You know, I'm no longer. I mean, at the end of the day, there's something we have to do. We have to choose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm sorry. And if we don't, then there's no more boundary there.
Right.
Does that make sense?
So we're actually seeing a similarity between our interactions with people.
Yes.
As the relationship is to be with God.
With God.
In that respect,
and that's
we need to be wise to identify selfishness or self-centeredness.
Which can
be either my fault or the individual I'm interacting with.
Mm-hmm.
But in either case, we need to identify it and then determine what the boundary is going to be going forward.
And the thing is, you know, you said the word selfishness. Most people I work with or around are selfish because there's something lacking.
All right.
Okay?
Right.
Will you agree with that?
Right.
And I can feel like with God, I'm very selfish. Mm-hmm. I just, my relationship with him.
Yeah.
But yet and still, Kate, I appreciate your analogy of putting $100 on the table. I don't know how many times he put $100 on the board. I've taken it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I've taken it. And he continues to do that. Not because of he don't recognize that there's boundary issues between me and his relationship. I'm trying to grow in that, Brother Dreyer. You get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And he knows that. You know what I'm saying? And he continues to help me. Now, there's things he'd be like, no. I mean, like, legit. Like, he is telling me no. You know, and I can say one, but I'll have to call names, Brother Rodney. You know, because I prayed about some things, and he said no. And I still crossed that boundary, Brother Matthew, and I'm still seeing the effects of that boundary being crossed in my life, even at the age of 49. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it's not because he did not define a boundary. Now, he let me go over the boundary because that's who God is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But there's things in my life that boundaries I've crossed where he's shown grace and mercy, and he's patient with me because why? He knows me. He knows. And you're selfish. You're broken. You got all these things going on in your life. And that's the beauty of it. Like, it's okay to say no. But I think the heart of everybody in this room have a God heart. Mm. And so we can't beat ourselves up when we've helped people so much because we love them so much. You know what I'm saying? Or we care about their well-being so much.
Right.
But how effective can I be if I feel forsaken or if I feel like I'm broken and can't be effective because I allow this person to continue to take and take and take, and there's no refillment in my life? Does that make sense? And so I think that's kind of how the church is right now, Brother Dreyer. As a spiritual entity, you know, we've compromised our boundaries, you know.
We have.
And we've moved back because we are people of love. Let's just be honest. The church is a people of love, y'all, really.
Right.
We really are. I mean, there's things that are not right, but that's just part of it. But we have a hard time saying no. in most cases, in some cases not so many. I'm talking about spiritual things.
Sure.
We have a hard time wanting to be honest with others about things that are truth and things that are God's nature, right?
Right.
We have, and I really feel in this as a pastor, I feel like I try to please people, Brother Matthew, but is that healthy for people? Is that healthy for the world? And so, you know, one thing about Jesus, and as we was talking about, you know, when they were selling, he was like, don't make my house, my father's house, a den of thieves, or not, it shouldn't be money. What did he do? He turned the tables over on them, brother.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
made a point.
Right.
It's not that he didn't care about them, not that he didn't love them. Mm. You know, he had to stop that. But then I go back to Peter, and when Peter was telling him, it's like, yeah, I'll die for you. He's like, you really going to cross that boundary for me? Like, before the rooster, you know, crowed three times, you're going to deny me. Mm-hmm. He told him where he was. Why?
Right.
Because he loved him. Peter needed to see that. Brother Rodney, once again, that was truth, right? Peter didn't believe that. I know Peter in his heart did not believe that. But then when he was around other people, peer pressure, whatever you want to say, mm-hmm. you know, wasn't you with that Jesus man? The pressure was on. He started cussing. He went right back, as Brother Matthew said, to that old nature, that old seller, you know? Mm-hmm. But then he heard the rooster. He remembered Jesus' words.
Right.
Which Jesus gave to him. Why? To tear him down? Actually, it was what? Lift him up, Brother Matthew. To realize, I love you enough, I'm going to tell you what? The truth. Even after I'm gone. And the Bible says he began to cry. And I think those are the moments. Even if we don't see fruitfulness in our words at the time, we still speak truth. We still speak it seasoned in more love. But the beautiful part of the story is when Jesus was resurrected and him and Peter had that dialogue. Like, mm-hmm. Peter, do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
You know I love you. You know, then I'm asking you to do something. Feed my sheep. You know, mm-hmm. if why would Jesus ask someone who was broken, beaten down, couldn't trust, to go out and do something like that? Because Peter had to go through the whole process. And I think that's what we realize is that, you know, the things we go through, the boundaries that people impede in our lives, or the boundaries that we step over, and God still loves, guys, and he's still speaking to us, and he's still allowing us to dwell, you know, and we're speaking to people tonight, and, you know, people, you know, may have issues of crossing other people's boundaries, and God's still speaking to that person. I truly believe that, you know, through each and every way. I mean, that may be a gift, you know. I'm a little pushy, I think. You know, I think I am, y'all. I am who I am. I'm very forward. I talk a lot. Y'all know that. And but I hope God uses that. You know what I'm saying? To help people. You know, to temper that. You know, if God can use these things that we call brokenness, if God can use these things that we look at as boundary issues, I mean, he still used Adam and Eve because they're in the line of the Messiah. You know. Mm-hmm. He just didn't do away with them. Matter of fact, he clothed them. Right. He showed them where they were. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm so encouraged, you know, that my 12-year-old is asking these questions. I'm so encouraged that he sees that there's issues out there. There's boundary issues, and those issues impact him. They impact his relationship to God.
Right.
You know, but at the end of the day, I'm saying, Mike, you still treat these people nice. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
You just don't be dismissive to them, you know. Now, you don't do what they do, right? You don't have to do what they do. You know, but you don't beat them down.
Right.
You know, you be, what we say, a model or an example to them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm so thankful. Man, I feel like I'm doing some talking. I guess I am. But anyway.
Not really.
Any thoughts? I'm going to shut up just for a second. Everybody okay?
Well,
let me do a check-in. Rod, you good?
Yeah.
Matt, you good? Okay. Katie B., you good? Willie B., you good?
Well.
Now that you ask.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It took me a while to ask it. We only like 50 minutes. God, this is a long podcast. Stop it, saying. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Relationships is key in life.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we establish boundaries. And boundaries can be changed. And with the fact that we can change our boundaries, we would certainly want to have a good reference by which we would change our boundaries. And of course, in that sense, we don't want other people, you know, defining the boundary that we would have or change.
Mm-hmm.
you know. And to that extent, I would recommend, if I'm allowed to say it on this podcast.
Oh Lord, let me mute it then.
Be censored.
Yeah. You recommend what now?
The biblical references.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. That's perfectly fine. Before we close out, we're at 53 minutes, Brother Rodney. I think it's really good, Brother Rodney, yeah, with everybody else, you know.
I'm
glad we finally drug ourselves in here.
I'm glad y'all did, too. It's nice to have y'all in here. Before we go, just as final thoughts there, I'd like us to look at this list. And is there anything that jumps out on the page in regards to healthy relationships or unhealthy relationship with boundaries that we need to mention, or are we pretty settled? I thought we had some very thought-provoking conversations here.
I guess I have somewhat of a question, but when it says give space for autonomy and avoiding codependence, that's can be a very broad and might even be a point for project.
Well, I just think that tells
autonomy.
Give space for that person to be that person, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then not, you know, because some people have to depend on others. They can't really make decisions and, you know, make it to themselves. And so, I mean, right. Anybody else? But it can definitely be another topic. I mean, yeah codependence within the self.
Yeah. A lot to say on that.
A lot
you
to
know,
say.
And attachment styles.
Yes, yes.
How childhood affects how we,
it
you
does,
know.
Yes.
And I think that is a really big topic.
Maybe we need to highlight that
to really to talk into, because I think, once again, that kind of goes into the fact of, it's not all about you. It's not all about being I. It's not all about autonomy in the sense of whatever I want to do, my way or nothing. But being able to balance it and
balance. Still
be your part, you know,
your
who
person,
you are.
Yeah, who you are.
Not completely enmeshing yourself with another person.
Well, we're going to be here another hour.
I think it is a balance, really. I think that's really hard to not completely just throw yourself into this, like I said. But at the same time, though, realizing, like, this is, whether it's friendship or relationships or whatever, these are two people here. Like, it's not
two
just
individuals,
you.
Yeah.
So I think, like you said, it is a very deep subject into. But
it's kind of how man was made, threefold. And God, think about the Holy Spirit, think about the Son, think about the Father. They're all one, but yet they're all separate. Very distinct and separate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They all have different roles, and so. I agree. That's really good, man. That's man, we need to highlight that, because that can definitely be a whole nother hour, Brother Rodney.
Yeah.
Well, Rodney's, where's your fiance at, Rodney? Oh.
They get along just fine.
they are not codependent.
It is hard, though.
It is
not speaking for you and everyone else, but just in general, it's... It's really, like, I think sometimes just finding that in-between balance.
The balance, yeah.
And I think that's the hard part. I think a lot of times we go on this end of the spectrum or we go on this end of the spectrum.
One or the other.
And we don't really hit in the middle.
In the middle, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
I think that's a daily walk, though. That we got to be, you have to be intentional with that. Both parties have to be intentional.
Because you have to decrease in some ways.
Ooh, man.
And that's hard, too. You know, you have to know when you're going too much, you got to decrease.
Wow.
And like y'all were talking about, in your relationship with God as well, you know, we, I think sometimes we definitely have to remind ourselves to decrease and to realize that it's not only about us.
Wow.
Go ahead.
No, that was what
finish.
I was going to say. No, you're good. Go ahead.
Everyone,
y'all decreasing over there.
Everyone we meet, everybody we meet that comes into our space or into our world, have boundaries established, just as we do.
Mm-hmm.
As she just used the word, meeting in, finding that medium is the challenge going forth in life.
This is a profound question. How do you find a medium?
You want to go first?
Nobody's ever asked him that question, so this is the medium between everyone. This is great. I love it. He always waits to go last, Katie.
I usually wait to go last.
Go first.
That's
go first.
That's
go
a
ahead.
Good strategy. Me, go ahead. Oh,
yeah.
No, you got to go first, Brother Dry, because that's the medium. No, I'm just playing.
I was going to steal his answer anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
Once again, but I think, I don't even know that I fully have an answer to that question. I'm still trying to find out the answer to that question. Like, here in the past few months especially, I've been trying to figure that out,
mm-hmm.
how to balance myself and my interactions with other people.
Other people, yeah.
And I've got like a long way to go on that. I haven't completely, I'm not living that out. I can't tell you that I've found this center point
mm-hmm.
and I'm correctly executing it in all of my relationships mm-hmm. because I'm really not. And I've realized that how badly I'm doing in that
mm-hmm.
respect.
Can you give some pointers of what not to do?
About how not to find the median? Well, yeah. I think that's what we've been talking about. That's what we've been talking about. You know, I think you have to have a lot of self-awareness. I think
yeah,
you have to be willing
yeah.
to be by yourself. Well, not, you know, I mean, talking with God, of course, but I'm just saying away from other people.
Yes.
And really just evaluate mm-hmm. yourself and be like brutally honest with yourself.
Keep going.
And just say, you know, what am I doing that's unhealthy, either towards myself or towards the other person? You know, and like I said, realizing where you're messing up at, kind of.
So it's a lot of self-awareness first.
I think you really have to be, because you can't control the other person. You know, you can, once again, set your boundaries, and hopefully they'll respect that and change their behavior if they need to. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to realize where you're at. Because if I'm on this end of the spectrum, I've got to go farther this way. Yes.
Knowing yourself, and, of course, in knowing myself, and my boundary, it gives me a good reference point for letting the other man be himself. Now, he is himself, like I say, and he has his boundaries. When his boundaries conflict with mine, that's where there has to be a higher standard as to whose position I'm going to take at that point. I mean, if his boundary is greater than mine, and I can see a benefit saying that I should change mine and agree with him, with that individual, then I should be humble enough to do that. On the other hand, is the other party equally as submissive to grow, you know, in a relationship that we both can benefit? So I guess that would be my answer. First of all, knowing and understanding myself to the degree that when I encounter another person with their boundaries, that I can properly evaluate their values, because it's not going to all come out at once.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be an interaction, a relationship over time. You know, some people, you take, for example, in a marriage, some people date for a month or two and they jump right into a relationship. On the other hand, you've got people who date for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, mm-hmm. and nobody's made up their mind because they've not fully become aware of the boundaries betwixt the two of them. And then many of the relationship, look at the divorce rate today in the church and out of the church. What? It's 56 or more percent
wow.
worldwide, you see. So here we have people who lack the knowledge of oneself. And therefore, lacking the knowledge of oneself, we will be double-minded. You know, I might meet somebody today and certain things they desire because I don't have a shield or a boundary against. And it may not be. I'm really thinking in terms of some of the people I see as I minister to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are influenced by a person of lower morals, because they don't know themselves and have a standard by which they say, I'm not going any further. You follow me? So
there was a quote I read the other day, and I took a picture of it, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. And it fits perfectly about boundaries. It says, give people time, must mean time, patience. Mm-hmm. Give people space. And in space, sometimes you have to tell people, no, move out of my space.
Right.
You have to tell them that, okay? Don't beg anyone to stay. Cause sometimes if you tell people, you got to get out of my space, we don't want them in our space, because sometimes we let them in our space. That's boundary issues with us and them, right?
Right, right.
And so you don't beg them. You give them, say, I'm giving you time, I'm giving you space, move back. Mm-hmm. And it says, let them roam.
Yeah.
Let them roam. Because somebody who cares about you, they're going to respect it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
They're not going to come into your space or come and invade your boundaries, right?
Right.
But somebody who don't, guess what they're going to do? They're going to roam off. Because they got to invade somebody else's boundaries, right? Because mm-hmm. this goes back to that codependence thing you talked about.
Right.
You know, they have to have that mm-hmm. because they don't have boundaries within themselves, right?
Right.
Now, this part is like, what's meant for you will always be yours. And that goes back to, number one, your relationship with God. Mm-hmm. That's what's meant to you. And anything God allows there in your boundary, mm-hmm. because when you give people time, give people space, and you don't beg them to stay, you let them roam, you begin to realize things. You begin to see things with clarity. You know, a hunter, when he hunts and he's trying to gain perspective, what does he go? To the highest what? Mm-hmm. To the highest point to right. see. And he has to have it quiet. He has to look and see. And you got to see what's around you. Mm-hmm. And I like that because I think about the boundary. You get to see the whole boundary and what's happening on the boundary. And, you know, and those who are going to be with you, they're going to be with you.
Right.
They're going to respect you. You say, hey, listen, I need it quiet. Hey, listen, I need time. I need space. I got it. They know how to respect what you need, right?
Right.
Because if you need time and space, then they need time and space too.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And so I think that's such, so beautiful. It was just a beautiful. But also, this is something totally different. It says accept people as they are, right?
Right.
You can't change them, can you?
Right.
But place them where they belong.
All right.
So how can I say this? You know, there's been seasons in my time in my life where, you know, I've accepted people, but I may have placed them too close to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or placed them too far away from me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's because I didn't have what? Perspective. I didn't give time and I didn't give space. And it goes back to what you say, you know, you meet somebody, you know, in 3 days I'm getting married. You know, 6 months I'm getting married, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you know. Sometimes the Lord speaks to you. Or, you know, God tells you no, and you're like, well, yeah, God, you know, I'm placing this person here in spite of what you say. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if God hadn't spoken to you or the word had spoken to you, then you can even get what? Time and what? Space. Yes. Right?
Right?
Because that benefits not only you, but it also benefits who? The person.
Right. That's right.
The person. So, man, that's deep stuff there. I didn't even know. I wouldn't even use those tonight. Those just for my own personal thing. So, man, thank you guys for that.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, you may. I think I need
a side note on why I said I don't think it's only self-awareness. Like, mm-hmm. don't just go figure out where you're at.
Gotcha.
You also have to know who you are in God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm just going to add that on there because it's not just like, oh, this is what I do good and bad, like strength and weakness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, figuring out what God says about you.
Yes.
Because I don't know that you're ever going to figure out how to relate to other people until you know where you're at with God.
Where you
and I can
are.
Only say that because, once again, that's what I'm trying to do
I got
right
you.
Now.
And where you are with Him.
Knowing who He says you are. You know, knowing who you are in relation to God. Knowing the things that He says about you.
Yeah.
Versus what the devil is telling you that God's saying about you. Kind of like with
the
fruit.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
I was just going to say that as well. Like, in your self-reflection, trying to read the scripture and pray and really try to figure out what God's really saying
what
about
he's you. Saying to you.
Because a lot of times you just get lost in the shame and everything that God's saying so much bad stuff. You know, you think he's just disappointing you and it's just
it. That's not it.
But you also have to hear in the midst of all that, kind of like Rodney was talking about, the love of it.
The love.
Of
the
Father.
Yeah. Anything that's negative is not coming from God anyway because it's going to build you. You know what I'm saying? Even the truth in that.
Yeah.
There's a Michael Tyler song called By Name.
I don't know they told you about that song.
I didn't say who told me about the song, but it's
I love
a great
that song.
It's
it
a great
a song,
song.
Because I think you have to be willing to also understand that God loves you.
Yeah.
You know? And even that was just what I was gonna say in addition
no,
to that.
No, that's
my
great.
Point is also maybe focusing on that because it took me a while to really realize that I wasn't focusing on that.
Because even in your self awareness, your awareness is not God awareness. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you can know all your strengths and all your weaknesses and never know a thing that God's saying about
that's
you.
Right.
So,
and the key is His love, man, and it's
grace
beyond
His love,
capacity. Like I don't even know like how you love me, God, but yeah, you do. I just
but
take
he does.
It.
And it's
by name, man.
It's beyond.
Who told me about that song again?
It's probably your favorite, Rodney. But no, I'm just gonna add that. I know we're running out of time, but I realized I didn't really say that how I wanted to say it, but I'll add that too.
This is like two episodes put together. If we go another 21 minutes, Rod, and we can get 3 episodes out of here.
I'm making up for all the time that I wasn't here.
Make all the time. I appreciate it. Thank you. No, I definitely appreciate that. That does give great insight to that. Anybody else? I don't want to break away.
Yeah.
Somebody else may have a revel. Oh.
I would just say in conjunction with her that the biblical principle is identity. mm-hmm. our knowing our identity as God has defines us.
Mm-hmm.
It's key. It's a step in growing to maturity in Christ.
I love this because I was going to end in this refrain because y'all both said it. Who image were we created in? God's
Lord
image.
Jesus. Amen.
And who set the one boundary for us? God did.
Amen.
And it was only one, guys. And he hadn't changed, has he?
No.
He's still trying to bring us to that place right there.
Set your eyes on him.
And I think he's, man. And we're creating his image. There's such beauty in that. And he's only, I mean, and he really wasn't limited to us from anything bad. It was that thing that will do what? Separate us from him.
That's right.
That's really the only, anyway. Yeah. I really appreciate everybody once again having Brother Willie Dreyer here, Sister Katie B., Brother Matthew, and of course the one, the only, I mean, he's the man, he's the myth, he is the legend, Rod. Oh, Rodney. So, no, I really appreciate everybody. I'm so excited and really enjoyed. Did y'all enjoy the discussion that was in association? So once again, we want to get ready to close out. Really hope this is a blessing and help someone out there. And like you said, you're not alone. You're not forsaken. You know, you're not on this horizon by yourself. And you are created in God's image. And no matter what people say or no matter what you feel, he loves you and he loves us. And, you know, man, I feel like I've crossed a lot of crazy boundaries in my life. But I know this. I've never been by myself, guys. He's always walked with me in some of the deepest and darkest places. But rather than saying that, he loves me and is beyond imagination. So, powerful, powerful, powerful. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully Michael will get to watch this and get to hear this and get some great insight. I hate that he wasn't here, but he's on the basketball. Well, maybe he's off the court now. It's past 7 o'clock, so he should be heading home. So, but I do appreciate each and every one of y'all. I want to say that I love each and every one of y'all. I think y'all know that, and I know God doesn't make mistakes, and this is just so amazing that I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I've done many things in my life, but this is one of my seasons of enjoyment. Sitting here in this room in Geraldine, Alabama on Sand Mountain. Like, whoa, my God, what kind of boundaries have I crossed? I mean, I'm on Sand Mountain at night. Brother Ron, you almost got me, man. You almost got me. Tell my, you know, I was going to be the only black person up here, you know, all these boundaries.
I'm sorry. I used to go to the black church. And
here we go. We thought about
that.
I've been to Fackler. I'm going to Fackler. We're going to have a mission trip to Fackler. I don't know.
We're going to go out there and podcast there.
Anyway, I'm just being silly. I appreciate you guys. Brother Rodney, will you close us out in prayer, please, sir?
Thank you, God. Everything.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone. We appreciate you. This is Forsaken Horizon. Amen.